WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:03, we have cloudy skies and 60 degrees in Atlantic. We look for an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms today, a high around 65. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. One day after a state Senate hearing aired complaints about management of the Iowa Veterans Home, Governor Terry Branstad appointed a top aide to serve in a newly created leadership post at the institution. Branstad announced Tuesday that Jody Timeson will step down as head of the Department of Veterans Affairs, become the chief operating officer of the Iowa Veterans Home in Marshalltown. Branstad spokesman Tim Albrecht said the appointment is not in response to complaints about management of the home. Albrecht says Timeson will work with David Worley, the commandant of the home. Timeson served as a brigadier general in the Iowa Army National Guard before retiring in 2007 after 33 years of service. She served as a state representative before joining the Branstad administration in 2011. And the newly appointed chief operating officer for the Iowa Veterans Home did not give any hints of the home's pending management changes when she testified before legislators on Monday. Governor Branstad announced Tuesday, as I mentioned, that Iowa Department of Veterans Affairs Director Jody Timeson will become the COO of the Veterans Home, and that'll be on May the 28th. On Monday afternoon, Timeson had spent 12 minutes speaking before a legislative committee hearing, which aired complaints about the commandant of the Veterans Home.
I really came here today to listen. I always appreciate hearing from veterans and concerned Iowans on issues that affect veterans.
Timeson did make a point of praising the people we now know she will soon supervise.
It's been my experience when I've been at the Veterans Home, there is a great staff there doing good work for our veterans.
Timeson is a non-voting member of the Iowa Commission of Veterans Affairs, which oversees the facility, but she told lawmakers she merely received updates from the commandant of the Veterans Home. Four different senators asked Timeson if she knew about the employee grievances or patient complaints that were aired during Monday's hearing.
We've heard from some very specific people today, and I had not heard their story before. I think that's the way I want to answer that.
Timeson had been director of the Iowa Department of Veterans Affairs since 2011. She served a decade in the Iowa House as a Republican representing the Winterset area. Officials at the Cass County Memorial Hospital announced on Tuesday that the west entrance and parking lot along 10th Street will reopen today. The area had been closed for construction since April. CEO Pat Markham said that they appreciate everyone's cooperation and patience with the temporary closure. The west entrance door will be open from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Weekend and holiday hours will be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Patients and visitors coming to the hospital cafeteria, rehabilitation services, human resources, educational services, and public relations will find the west entrance especially convenient. The Atlantic Airport Commission and Cass County Board of Supervisors will hold separate meetings on Wednesday. Both sessions begin at 9 a.m. this morning. At the airport, the Airport Commission is set to discuss a request from the Atlantic JCs for a fireworks show. The Atlantic City Council approved the request during their meeting on May the 1st. The Commission will also act on a resolution setting the bid date and public hearing for the parallel taxiway paving project and approval of the sponsor certification for the project plans and specifications. At the courthouse, the Cass County Board of Supervisors will act today on authorizing an application through the Rural Business Enterprise Grant Program of the USDA and approval of matching funds amounting to $2,500 if the grant is received. The board will also act on appointing someone to fill a vacancy position on the Cass County Board of Adjustment. A ban on open burning in Mills County is scheduled to be lifted this afternoon. The Iowa Department of Public Safety reports the burn ban, which was initiated in Mills County on April the 8th, will end today at 4 o'clock because conditions are less conducive to field and grassland control burns getting out of control. Once the ban is lifted, there will be no counties in Iowa which remain under such a ban. Mills County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that there were two arrests over the past few days. Early Friday morning, 18-year-old Dominic James Schloop of Hastings was arrested for driving while revoked following a traffic stop near the intersection of Highway 34 and 350th Street. And early Saturday morning, deputies arrested 25-year-old William Sear of Omaha on a charge of OWI first offense following a traffic stop on Highway 59, about a mile north of Highway 34. Both men had their bonds set at $1,000. And sheriff's deputies in Mills County also investigated incidents of forgery in Glenwood, a theft in the second degree from a company in Council Bluffs, and a report of criminal mischief in Malvern. There was also one non-injury accident which occurred on Saturday. Drew Little of Glenwood was traveling north on 220th Street about a mile south of Glenwood when a deer ran onto the road. Little swerved to miss the animal, but ended up striking it. The 1996 Saturn he was driving went out of control and rolled onto the passenger side into a ditch and came to rest on its wheels in a field. The Harlan Police Department reported yesterday the arrest on April 28th of 28-year-old Aaron McCutcheon. Officials say the Harlan man was taken into custody following an investigation into a domestic disturbance in the 1700 block of Lincoln Avenue. He was charged with domestic abuse, assault, and criminal mischief in the fifth degree. The HPD said also that no injuries had been reported following an accident Monday in the 1900 block of College Place in Harlan. Vehicles driven by Gretchen Schofield and Matthew Goebbels, both of Harlan, collided as Goebbels' 2003 Chrysler was backing out of a parking space. The damage was estimated at $1,500 altogether. A traffic stop for an equipment violation Monday night in Lenox resulted in the arrest of an alleged drunken driver. According to the Lenox Police Department, a vehicle driven by 33-year-old Jeffrey Luft of Sharpsburg was pulled over a little after 9 p.m. Monday on Van Buren Street. The officer determined Luft had been drinking and performed sobriety tests. The man was subsequently arrested and transported to the Taylor County Sheriff's Office, where a breath test indicated a blood alcohol content of more than twice the legal limit at .195. Luft was charged with OWI second offense and transported to the Ringgold County Jail. And finally, in area news, an investigation into an incident which allegedly occurred April 26th in Lenox resulted in an arrest. According to the Lenox Police Department, 49-year-old Jeff Brown of Lenox was taken into custody at around 6 p.m. Monday on a warrant for domestic assault. Brown was transported to jail where he was being held pending an appearance in front of the magistrate. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, a House committee today is holding a hearing on last September's attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, that killed Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans. Three State Department witnesses are scheduled to testify, including Gregory Hicks, the former deputy of mission in Libya. House Republicans insist the Obama administration is covering up information about the attack. Three brothers suspected of holding three Cleveland women captive for years could appear in court today. Right now, no charges have been filed against Ariel, Pedro, and Anel Castro, who were arrested after one of the women kicked out the bottom of a locked screen door and used a neighbor's telephone to call 911. The mother of one of the three women held captive for about a decade in Cleveland said she hadn't spoken to her daughter yet, but she hopes she knows that she loves her and missed her the whole time. Barbara Knight, the mother of Michelle Knight, told NBC's Today Show that when her daughter disappeared at the age of 20 in 2002, she and the police thought that she maybe just didn't want to see her family anymore. She said her daughter's child had been removed from the home just prior to her disappearance. She says she knows her daughter is likely angry at the world because she probably thought she'd never be found. Overseas, at least five bodies have been pulled from wreckage after a cargo ship crashed into a dock as it left port in Genoa, Italy, late last night. The port's control tower toppled into the harbor, and rescue officials fear there are people trapped inside the tower's submerged elevator. And the UN's Labor Office says unemployment among young people is likely to rise globally to 12.8% by 2018, and that would wipe out gains made in the recent economic recovery. The report by the International Labor Organization said the jobless rate among people 15 to 24 years of age was 12.4% globally in 2012, and that's up from 12.3% in 2011. And taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, Fern Crone, age 91, of Avoca, died Sunday. Funeral services for Fern Crone will be today at 10 o'clock at Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Louis Heller, age 65, of Avoca, died Sunday. A mass of Christian burial service for Louis Heller will be tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Defiance. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Mildred Muggs Hogan, age 96, of Casey, died Sunday. Funeral services for Mildred Hogan will be on Thursday at 10:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church in Casey. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Barbara Jean Butler, age 85, of Stewart, died Monday. Funeral services for Barbara Jean Butler will be on Friday at 10 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home Chapel in Stewart. Judy Sheriff, age 75, of Greenfield, died Monday. Celebration of life services for Judy Sheriff will be this Saturday at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Lonnie Dale Olson, age 51, of Avoca, died Monday at his home. Graveside services for Lonnie Olson will be Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Oak Hill Cemetery in Hancock. Paulie Jones Funeral Home at Avoca has arrangements. And Janice Marie Whalen, age 68, who's formerly of Avoca, died October 5th in Missouri. Graveside services for Janice Whalen will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Graceland Cemetery in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Avoca is in charge of the arrangements. That is a check of our news here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.